You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's day is Monday, June 24th, 2024. Grandpa Dan, RadioAlbion.com. I'm glad you tuned in. I hope you have a good week this week. And I thank you for making some time on your Monday, your busy Monday, to tune in, to download, whatever the case may be here, and listen in at RadioAlbion.com. If you do want to download, you'll be sure and hit that download where it says download below the player. That'll pop you into another window and you'll be able to download from that page. I know it's kind of clunky, an extra step. It's just part of the price we pay in Sven Longshank's absence. Speaking of Sven, continue to encourage you. We have our Sven Longshank support links here on the Daily Nationalist page. I thank all of you who've dropped him a note, email, postcard, whatever the case may be. Please don't stop. Please continue that. It means a lot to him, and I appreciate it as well. I'll tell you on his behalf. He appreciates it. I appreciate it. We all appreciate it. And thank all of you who have and will continue and have continued to do that. We've often hear this term, and I'm not a big fan mostly because of the fact that it's overused. And that, of course, is the red pill, blue pill, you know, terminology, reference to the Matrix movies. And like I say, I'm not a big fan, mostly simply for the fact that it's been way overused. And yet, we're going to use it today because we're writing out a prescription for some red pills on the topic of the pharmaceutical industry. When you're red pilled, what does it mean when you say that somebody is red pilled versus blue pilled? And I think the best definition to attach to that is understanding the world around you, more specifically, understanding how this system that we live under, how it operates, and the reasons that it does the things that it does. One of the things we do here at Radio Albion in pursuit of the truth is to continue to get to gain a greater understanding of how the system operates, why it does the things that it does. The system itself does its best to keep people operating with a prescription of blue pills, which would mean to not understand the way the system actually works, to believe the lies that people are fed, the prescription of lies, that the system functions in a manner that it does not. And they run around, they wander through life lost, not understanding how the system works. Today we're going to talk about one of the aspects of this system, which is the pharmaceutical industry. The system we operate under, I think one of the easiest ways to understand your role in this system as it's designed to work. Your role in this system is to simply generate revenue. You are livestock under this system. Whenever they talk about the democracy values of who we are, think of that in terms of your livestock, and your only purpose is to serve the system, to generate wealth for somebody else. That's it. From the day you're born to the day you die. I always think about the fact that when you're born, I don't know, it costs, like, if you're paying for it out of pocket, they charge you this ridiculous thing to catch a baby falling out. And it's like $8,000-$10,000+ for a baby's birth. And you go through life generating revenue for all these different entities. And then when you die, they want another $10,000-$20,000+ simply to dig a hole and put you in it, to put your body in it. Your life, your purpose of your life under this system is to generate revenue. That's it. And yet the system tells people all of these other narratives, all of these other fairy tales about how the system operates. There was once a time, I remember, it used to actually be illegal for the pharmaceutical industry to advertise on TV. I remember when that law was changed. Best believe it or not, kids, there was a time several decades ago when you could turn on TV and there were no ads for pharmaceuticals. And now it's just probably one of the most common ads on TV. You take this, the latest wonder drug, for this, that, or the other. And this highlights the way the system works overall, and that your only purpose is to generate revenue. I've got a couple of stories today, and I think this highlights the corruption, because the system is very, we have reached like a critical mass of corruption. The roads don't work, the systems don't work, things don't function, and everything is so corrupt. The money goes somewhere. They always say we're spending $1 trillion on infrastructure. The infrastructure continues to crumble. We have the most, you know, the U.S. has the most highly expensive military industrial complex apparatus in the world, and yet half the weapons don't work, or then they run out of them. They can't maintain them. And you see all of these signs of this endemic corruption. It's endemic of the system. This corruption and the pharmaceutical industry, this is yet another aspect of this. We're going to get into this today. And we're going to start off talking about the COVID vaccine, another topic that's kind of been done to death. But I found this to be interesting. Now, you all, everybody, if you have a pulse and you're breathing, you understand. If you have a pulse and you're breathing, you probably didn't take the COVID vax. Congratulations. But even if you did, and you've dodged a bullet thus far, we all know the story behind this COVID vax. Just Pfizer alone made well over $1 billion off of this vaccine. They pushed these and said, you know, we saw the progression. This is a vaccine like any other vaccine. If you take the vaccine, it's going to stop. We're going to wipe out COVID-19. And we just save. You won't have to wear the mask. See how that works. The government comes in. All of this, remember, this is beneficial to the pharmaceutical industry. The government comes in, institutes masks. The government comes in and threatens people. Oh, they shut down businesses, make people go bankrupt, people losing their jobs. They tried to throw out some money and tell people they could stay at home so they wouldn't be too disgruntled over it. And then they say, we're providing the way out. You got to go get the COVID vax. And it's free. We're funneling billions of dollars into the pharmaceutical industries to pay for this. And it's totally safe. It's totally effective. It's going to stop the spread. And then you won't have to walk around in your mask anymore. And it's totally free. If it's totally free, how is it that Pfizer, Moderna, and these other companies raked in billions of dollars from it, if it's totally free? They line their pockets and, oh, by the way, it's so totally safe and it's so totally effective. We're doing it under emergency authorizations, meaning we're bypassing any sort of idea of safety protocols and study and research. And we're also attaching immunity so that if it all blows up someday, you can't sue the pharmaceutical companies, because they're just trying their best to stop the spread, to save us in this time of emergency. It's how do you look at this narrative and not be cynical about it? Let's look at our first story. This is from the Gateway Pundit. I don't usually use the Gateway Pundit. And we're going to use this, and then we'll go to another story from RT that is related to this in a different sort of way. We'll get into it. This story is headlined, "Explosive Study Once Removed from Lancet Within 24 Hours Is Now Peer-Reviewed and Public. It Reveals That 74% of Deaths Directly Related to COVID-19 Shot." That headline is a little misleading, but we'll get into this. A previously censored paper from The Lancet has now undergone peer review and is available online. The study, titled "A Systemic Review of Autopsy Findings in Deaths After COVID-19 Vaccination," analyzed 325 autopsy cases and found that a staggering 73.9% of deaths were either directly due to or significantly contributed to by the COVID-19 vaccination. The paper's lead author, Dr. Nicholas Holscher, faced significant opposition in bringing these findings to light after initially being downloaded over 100,000 times. The Lancet removed the paper within 24 hours, according to Dr. William Makis. According to the Daily Skeptic, the reason given at the time was, quote, this preprint has been removed by preprints with the Lancet because the study's conclusions are not supported by the study methodology. Now, you can't look at these things. You always have to look at this broad picture. You notice along with, and we saw this quite a bit during the original COVID operation that was run on everybody, how the system of censorship worked hand in hand, you know, shutting people down, people talking about, you know, things that, you know, obviously they're lying, and people being skeptical and people talking about, and the censorship, which you know, theoretically shouldn't have anything to do with the government and the pharmaceutical industry. And yet there it was. The media worked lockstep. The system, in other words, is a system. It's all working together. Shut it down. Don't talk about it. Listen to us. Listen to this prescription. Take your prescription of blue pills. Listen to us. We're it's safe and effective. We're just trying to save people's lives. My view of this, every time you read stories about the adverse effects of these vaccines, of this particular vaccine, I always look at it as the reality is probably 10 times worse than what you're reading. Because you have a story like this, now it's coming out, and here you have a study, peer-reviewed study. They've been forced somewhat to release it. And this is a part of the fact that the adverse effects of this vaccine are so bad, they're and so widespread that they can't suppress it anymore. They simply just cannot refuse to acknowledge it at all any longer. So they're letting a little pressure off. They're letting a little steam off and acknowledge of a few, there could be a few problems. Now, this goes back to what we referenced earlier. Remember, they gave these pharmaceutical companies blanket immunity. I saw a story here a while back that a group of people were getting together to sue one of these pharmaceutical industries. And I'm thinking, well, good luck with that. They have blanket immunity. You're not going to get anywhere with that. That was written into the law, which should have been a red flag for anybody with a functioning brain. If it's safe and effective and everything's good, why are they having to issue them blanket immunity for any adverse effects? Now, let's just run over the review of the study. Methods. We searched PubMed and Science Direct for all published autopsy and necropsy reports relating to COVID-19 vaccination up until May 18th, 2023. All autopsy and necropsy studies that included COVID-19 vaccination as an antecedent exposure were included. Because the state of knowledge has advanced since the time of the original publications, three physicians independently reviewed each case and adjudicated whether or not COVID-19 vaccination was the direct cause or contributed significantly to death. We initially identified 678 studies and, after screening for our inclusion criteria, included 44 papers that contained 325 autopsy cases and one necropsy case. The mean age of death was 70.4 years. The most implicated organ system among cases was the cardiovascular, 49%, followed by the hematological, 17%, respiratory, 11%, and multiple organ systems, 7%. Three or more organ systems were affected in 21 cases. The mean time from vaccination to death was 14.3 days. Most deaths occurred within a week from last vaccination administration. A total of 240 deaths, that's 73.9%, were independently adjudicated as directly due to or significantly contributed to by COVID-19 vaccination, of which the primary causes of death include sudden cardiac death, 35%, pulmonary embolism, 12.5%, myocardial infarction, 12%, VITT, 7.9%, myocarditis, 7.1%, multisystem inflammatory syndrome, 4.6%, and cerebral hemorrhage, 3.8%. Now, let's stop for a minute and remember what they said during the whole COVID nonsense. Told everybody they had to wear the mask. They put these ridiculous restrictions. They want everybody to forget about that now. I'm not forgetting. And neither should you. Remember, you had people, old people, for instance, in the nursing home, on their deathbed. People's grandparents, grandmama, granddaddy, in the nursing home, on their deathbed. They're dying. They're literally dying. And they told family members, you can't go see them because you could kill them or somebody else by simply being in the building, which obviously was a nonsensical lie. And people were standing there looking through the window, waving, going, Grandma, I love you. Can you hear me, Grandma? They couldn't even go in, hold Grandma's hand, say their last goodbyes. People need to remember that. Don't ever forget. And what did they say? When they did these sorts of things, when they've told people they had to wear the mask, when they told people they had to be hassled if you went somewhere without a mask on, when they shut businesses down, put people out of business, people lost their jobs, all of these things happened. And what did they say? The same thing they always say, if it saves one life, it's worth it. You don't want somebody to die. You're not a killer, are you? If it saves one life. They love that line. Every time they're shoving some new regulation, some in the name of safety down your throats, what do they say? If it saves one person's life, if it saves the life of one child, we have to do this. Every life is precious if it saves one life. And then you read this study. We had to take, you were supposed to take the COVID vaccination because after all, again, you want to save lives, don't you? And here it's begrudgingly admitted that lives were lost because of what they did. Lives were lost from taking this vaccine. It's, and like I said earlier, I believe it's much worse than what they're starting to trickle out now. What's trickling out now is the fact that it's so bad, they just can't, it's impossible to ignore it any longer. More and more people know somebody or know of somebody who died after doing these vaccines. And they were, there's this common denominator on the causes of death. Usually it's something cardiovascular, and we see it reflected here in this study. Now, again, remember their words, if it saves one life, each life, one life is so precious. We got to do it. If it destroys your business, tough shit. We're saving one life. And here we find that quite a few lives, a high percentage of lives after taking the vaccine that died, it was because of the vaccine. They hand wave and say, well, that doesn't, it's just a coincidence. They had a heart attack. They were perfectly young and perfectly healthy. And then they fell over from a heart attack a week and a half after taking the vaccine. It's just a pure coincidence. Only now we see there's a nearly 75% chance that it's not coincidence at all. It's due to the vaccine. That's without getting into the overall numbers. But again, remember what they themselves said. If one life, we got to save one life. And yet their actions are demonstrated empirically here. That this study, their actions have led to people's deaths. And I think it's a fair to guess that it's way worse than what this indicates. Will these pharmaceutical companies be forced to give back some of that money? Are they going to give up any billions of dollars? They profited and people died. There's your money shot. They profited and people died. A lot of people, when they hear, oh, no, the FDA, this has been approved. This latest wonder drug has been approved by the FDA. And people, before all of this happened, they actually believed that these pharmaceutical companies went to the FDA and gave them the stuff, gave them the information. The FDA conducted studies in a lab, verified that everything was kosher. And then, and only then, does the FDA approve the latest wonder drug that's going to fix whatever or vaccinate you from whatever. And one of the things that came out from this COVID thing was we discovered that that is not how the system works at all. The pharmaceutical company pays for its own research, comes to the conclusion that they want to come to so that they can rake in the money, and then they present their own research to the FDA, who signs off on it. The FDA does no independent research at all. They just simply look at and sign off on the pharmaceutical company's research. What could go wrong? It's not like the pharmaceutical industry has a motivation to lie. Let's continue to look further at how corrupt all of this is. We've got another story here. We're going to RT. And the headline of this is $42,000 a year HIV vaccine trialed in Africa. U.S. biopharmaceutical company Gilead Sciences, Inc., has claimed that an experimental vaccine has demonstrated 100% efficacy for the prevention of HIV infections in women after conducting trials in South Africa and Uganda. Now, a common thing you find when you look into a lot of this pharmaceutical research, why is it being done in Africa? This is not isolated to this particular research. I've run across this times before. They're doing research on a latest vaccine, the latest thing, and it's always in Africa. Why is that? I'll tell you why it is. Because they pay off the right people. I mean, I tell you why it is. Okay, let me rephrase that. This is my theory, and I think it's a reasonable theory, because otherwise you have to ask, if this theory is not correct, then what's the real reason? My theory is they pay off the right people, and if a bunch of Africans die because this thing doesn't work, nobody gives a shit. That's my theory. In before source, with your proofs. That's my theory. I think it's the most logical theory. Otherwise, why do they always do these studies? This admittedly experimental vaccine, when they do the human studies, they go to Africa to do that. Why is that? Let's continue. Trials with the twice yearly, and they always have these ridiculous names for these things. I probably won't pronounce it right. I don't care. Trials with the twice yearly lenacapavir shot involved about 5,300 women. Let's stop there. Women. Why are they testing it on women? When you hear HIV, what do you think about? You think about homosexual men, because people associate it with AIDS. I could really get off on the woods on this thing. But I will just say, I read a story many years ago, and the guy that discovered the HIV virus said it had nothing to do with AIDS. He just found this thing, and he said it doesn't have anything to do with what they were calling AIDS. But without getting off into the woods, when you think of HIV, what do you think of? You think of homosexual men, and yet this study we see right off the bat, they're conducting it in Africa, and they're doing it on women. Now, obviously, it's keyed up to be a moneymaker just by the price in the headline. But then you have to also think, what are they actually studying? Because if they're actually studying HIV, why would you be conducting these tests on women when predominantly the problem is supposedly among men who do gay anal? Well, so I think it's reasonable to ask the question, what are they actually studying to see what this thing does? Perhaps if it's focused on women, the first thing that comes to mind is they're actually studying how this affects fertility. Does it actually sterilize people? That's the first conclusion you would have to infer from the fact they're doing an HIV study, which again, you would think that would be focused on homosexual men, but they're studying on women. The company announced last week some were injected with the lenacapavir, while others received the company's older Truvada medication, which is taken orally once a day. First phase 3 HIV prevention trial ever to show zero infections, the company said in a press release published on the website. The results demonstrated the superiority of twice yearly lenacapavir over Truvada and exceeded the company's expectations, it added. By the way, as of recording, I just checked and their stock prices have bumped a little bit. With zero infections and 100% efficacy, twice yearly, lenacapavir has demonstrated its potential as an important new tool to help prevent HIV infections, said Mehrdad Parsi, chief medical officer of Gilead Sciences. I'm sure this guy doesn't. He's a doctor. He has no, you know, he has no reason to tilt the reportings. We look forward to additional results from the ongoing PURPOSE clinical program and continue toward our goal of helping to end the HIV epidemic for everyone, everywhere, he added. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, approved lenacapavir, which is sold under the brand name Sunlenca, for the treatment of HIV infections in adults in 2022. The expected cost of the medication is reportedly $42,250 in the first year and $39,000 annually after that. Now, as I read this, the FDA's basically already approved it, but they're still going through studies. And yet in 2022, they've already signed off on it, but they're still studying it. And they're studying it in Africa. Does anybody believe that lenacapavir, whatever the hell it's called, actually costs over $42,000 to take this thing twice a year? Does anybody actually believe this? Do you really think $42,000 a year, they're raking in the money? And I'm sure it will be safe and effective, right? Why? It's being studied. It's so safe and effective that once again, and again, you look into it and you find this pattern. Once again, the studies are being done in Africa. But don't worry, you're getting the report from the pharmaceutical company itself, which is set to rake in huge profits, huge amounts of money on it. But don't worry, they're so virtuous and they're so ethical. There's no way they would lie so that they could make money, right? It's just pure coincidence that they're doing their studies in Africa on women. Imagine it. We're in the month of June. We celebrate gay pride, while also promoting a $42,000 a year treatment for the HIV. You promote the lifestyle, and then you promote the cure for $42,000 a year and rake in the profits. Does it work? The side effects. Don't worry, they're doing a study. Not the FDA, the pharmaceutical company that's going to make the billions of dollars off of the latest wonder drug. They're doing their totally legit studies very transparently, very out in the open, in Africa, in Uganda. Don't worry, though. It's totally legit. I'm sure they're doing that because, you know, they're so ethical. I'm sure there's no other reason that time and again they choose Africa to do these experiments. I'm sure it's just pure coincidence. And I'm sure once people start getting this at $42,000 a year or whatever, I'm sure it'll be totally safe and effective. Everything is a money scam. Everything is some sort of money operation. It's just to harvest you. That is your purpose. It comes back to what I was talking about when we first started this discussion. One of the big red pills, one of the big ways to understand the way this system works and your role in it as viewed by the system itself is you are nothing more than livestock that exists to generate profit. That's it. You exist for that purpose and that purpose alone. Don't care about the side effects. They don't care if it has an adverse effect on you. They don't care. They care about generating profits. That's your role. If ultimately it has a negative effect on you, it doesn't matter. You're there to serve your role. These institutions, these pharmaceutical companies, they don't sit around and think, oh my gosh, these people look at their stock price. They don't sit around and when they get another report that says, wow, this thing has this, that, or the other adverse effect. This thing has killed this. Do you think anybody at Pfizer or Moderna or any of these other pharmaceutical companies that did the COVID vaccine, when they see a study like what we've covered today, do you think their CEO, do you think the CEO of Pfizer sits around when that study, he sees that study, sits down, reads it on his computer, which I think, again, it's a fair guess to say they already had this data. When they seize a study like that, do you think any of these people involved in this sit around and go, oh my gosh, I have taken part in being responsible for the deaths of people. I worked at this company. I helped get this done to generate profits, and people died because of it. Do you think any of these people sit around and go, oh my gosh, I feel so guilty. People died because I pushed this for the sake of profit. I pushed this so to make all of this money. And as a result, people died from it. Let that sink in. How would you feel if you did something, even if you did it by mistake? You would feel bad, you know? If you were driving your car and you accidentally, you didn't see the stoplight, you blew the stoplight, and somebody was crossing the crosswalk and you hit them with your car, splattered them, and you killed them. It was a mistake. You know, it was an accident. Hell, even if it wasn't your fault at all, somebody else ran the red light. You're driving along, you have the green light. Somebody else ran the red light. It's not even your fault. You're completely innocent. And you hit that other person and you killed them. You'd still feel bad about that, wouldn't you? You'd be like, well, I know it wasn't my fault, but I mean, somebody died. Somebody, I was there, and because I was involved in this accident, somebody was killed. Somebody lost their lives. You would feel a certain amount of something about that. And yet, do you think any of these pharmaceutical company people, any of the government people that enable, do you think anybody at the FDA, when they hear a story, when they see that there's a report out now, an official report, peer-reviewed, that says this many people have died as a result of, do you think anybody at the FDA who signed off on this thing sits around and goes, oh my gosh, I mean, I got that check from the pharmaceutical company, you know, through my other account or whatever. You think any of these people sit around and go, people died because of what I did? And anybody at Pfizer, anybody at any of these pharmaceutical companies sit around and wring their hands and said, oh my gosh, they say, oh my gosh, people have died because of what we did. I feel so bad. Maybe. I doubt it. I have a feeling you don't get into those positions unless you somehow get through a screening to where they don't have to worry about you having a conscience. If they have a conscience, you might become a whistleblower, and then that has to be taken care of. Nobody, none of these people are going to sit around and worry about being responsible. And yet, the same system will sit there and say, if it saves one life, you've got to give up more of your freedom. You've got to give up more of your any sort of independence. You have to be subjected to these things. You have to submit. After all, you don't want to be responsible for killing one person, do you? You don't want, if you don't do what we tell you, one person could theoretically die because of your disobedience. They harangue you, they guilt you, and then they themselves turn around. And when people have died while they have profited, nothing. Nothing. They'll say, well, it's a small percentage. Nothing's perfect. The same people who hector you and lecture you and say, if one person, you've got to give up. You've got to submit if it saves one life. Otherwise, you're practically responsible for their death. The same people who rake in profits will sit there and hand wave and say, but it's a small price to pay. And I got $1 billion. Same people. Your pharmaceutical prescription for red pills is that the pharmaceutical industry does not exist to make you healthier, to cure you from disease. It exists first and foremost to generate profits. And it's just another part of this entire system. That's your role. You're here. Your role in this system is to generate revenue for somebody else. Your role is that of livestock. If they could, they'd treat you like the cattle. They'd put you in a squeeze chute, and they'd vaccinate you just like a cattle if they could. And they'd laugh all the way to the bank. We're going to wrap up on that note. I hope you enjoyed today's show. I'll be back tomorrow with the Parish of the Patriots show, which has not been recorded yet. I usually record it over the weekend. I wasn't able to. I'll be recording that on the day of the show. I don't know if that means it's going to be better, worse, or in between. It's probably about the average, which I think is pretty good. Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson will be here Wednesday with the Orthodox Nationalist. Dr. Johnson will be back on Thursday with his geopolitical-centered Daily Nationalist show. And I will be back to wrap up Fridays, hopefully with a humorous look at world events and things going on around us. I try to be humorous with it, but I find humor in a lot of places that other people don't. I hope you enjoy your week. As always, keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.